Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. Happy Savior's Day. This is Community Service Day. And this would be most appropriate that the National Community Memoir Dean Muhammad has ordered us or requested that we do community service. It's absolutely appropriate and totally correct that we have with us our brother from Selma, Alabama, the teacher of the community development class, which is community service in of itself. Well, we should make February the 26th, 19th, every year a day of community service. We should go and clean the neighborhoods up. We should put up flowers. We should beautify the neighborhood. We have to be known as a community that's doing something. Our distinction is Muslim African American community. I think I'm not interested in blending in with the Muslim world. I'm interested in standing out from the Muslim world as God has ordered me to do. He said, let that rise up out of you a community. You don't think God knew that there would be many Muslim communities? But there is a special community. The translator says, ban. But really, it means the word is community. Umnatu. Let that be a community. And joining the right and forbidding the wrong. Stand away from things that are unacceptable. A lot more to say about that. No other community on the face of the planet Earth is more than the community, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And I can tell you, those of you that missed Savior's Day, you missed it. It was one of the most powerful days in the history of humanity. And one man said to me, I came to Savior's Day. I haven't been to one since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed. But we didn't have a Savior's Day, S-A-V-I-O-U-R, as in a human being, one person being born. Our Savior's Day would be called Miss Fannie Lou Hamer was a Savior. A.G. Gashin was a Savior. Imam Mubashir Akhtar is a Savior. Imam Yusuf Salam is a Savior. Imam, what in the hell are you talking about? You should say, what in the heavenly parts are you talking about? Because God says, O you who believe, save yourself in your family from a fire that's filled with men and stone. It's my position, neither the Democratic Party, Republican Party, Independent Party, others can save even themselves. God has put it in the hands of Joseph to save the world. And once we accept our responsibility, we're going to save the world. But first, we got to believe that God has done that. And I believe with all my heart, all my mind, despite opposition, despite boycotts, we had a packed house at the Savior's Day. And I'm predicting the Ramadan session will be an overflow. I'm predicting that the convention will be overflow. And I'm convinced that out of those Savior's Days, out of the convention, we're going to pour out in the streets of America and invite our people to sense. And then our people will invite the rest of the world back to sense. And in the next 48 years, they're going to demand that we lead America. Thank you. As I introduce one of the greatest politicians that ever walked the earth, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, who stood up in the house of George Wallace and said, segregation now, segregation forever. But Imam Yusuf Salam said, segregation never, segregation never, segregation never, and segregation never to return again. The word of God, as given by Imam Muhammad, will be forever over this great land, and we are perfecting the union. I don't care what the disaffected might want. I don't care what the people from the left or the right want. God himself is going to reign through us, the community of Imam W. D. Muhammad, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. Brother Imam? Okay. I'm sorry, Brother Imam. I'm preaching and have you on. Next voice you heard will be the voice of Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. Prayer for the day.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Let me just start off fervently and vehemently standing upon the outstanding work of all the believers that came together and worked in this Savior's Day venture. And I know us many say, well, this brother, this sister was involved, and so the imam is gone, I'm not going to work with them. Do we know that after the prophet passed, peace be upon him, there were statements and charges and aggravations between some of the Sahabas, some of his companions, yet Allah kept the work going. So we can't use this brother did that, Wallace did this, Imam did that, as an excuse to act a stone Negro and to be divisive. You have obligations in life, and maybe you could not make that important date. But even if you were not there physically, the right response was to say a word to the right. Boycotting Muslims, the major boycott I know in the Islamic context, is when the prophet was in Mecca, peace be upon him, and the believers were struggling to establish this deen. And the pagan opposition tried to form a coalition to boycott the believers and to deprive them of family ties and to provide them of the basic necessities of life. Oh, yes, indeed. But Allah sent a creature to eat up the paper upon which that decree was made. And so ultimately, it was not worth the paper it was written on, literally, or whatever substance or whatever items they wrote on during that time, paper, whatever substance they wrote on or whatever item or object, what have you, that was used for paper. And I believe that the overwhelming momentum of good that could come out of an event like that, that those forces are going to be a creation that's going to eat up all that foolish opposition in time. Allah loveth not to waste. And he did not raise up this movement of African Americans inclined toward this deen of Al-Islam for nothing. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, they say. Don't you know that a 80-plus year movement of pioneers and workers and servants and leaders sacrificing their utmost in the cause of God? Do you know that effort will never be wasted? And do we know how we look before God and man? If we oppose any good that come out of that history, if there were some people that boycotted this event, if they put on an affair that's rooted in goodness as a part of this tradition that God himself raised up here in America among the descendants of ex-slaves, and out of that milieu, out of that context, out of that womb, came the most brilliant explicator of the Quran. Al-Quran, says Prophet Muhammad. And if you have anybody associated with that person, especially an offspring, that person guilty of murder? Is that person guilty of some horrible sin? You got this little accusation about family ties that I won't get into. The Sahabas had those same kinds of problems. Some of them were stated by the Prophet to be destined for paradise. And I don't agree with any of these positions that's out there. But even if they had some accuracy, we are all subject to shortcomings. Why should I not support the leadership? And this is not royalty. This is not blood of a decent person that came from this wonderful explicator that helped us all so much. Behind some little petty charge when we got this big mission in America. We don't have time for all that. We got a lot of growing to do. We got a lot of work to do. Again, I congratulate Brother Imam and all of those forces that work together to make this event a success. And those of us who did not make a contribution, let us feel guilty. Let us ask for forgiveness for not participating the way the two brothers who were left behind in the great expedition that the Prophet led. And they didn't participate, but their hearts was weighed down. Let's not be upset with envy and jealousy because there may have been a taste of success. What kind of people are we? And maybe if we regret not participating, maybe we'll make sure that in the next event or the event after that, that we will eventually support the legacy of this wonderful struggle that God raised up in America as a result of divine intervention, bringing about justice for people who have been abused, humiliated, abjectly subjugated and oppressed. Oh, yes. And we cannot stop now. As believers, we don't have time for all this player hate. All this manifestation of the badges and incidents of negritude and slavery. Acting out slave trauma when we're on the move. You didn't think that Almighty God would allow 80-plus years of struggle and sacrifice to just go down the drain because we're going to get all puffed up. No, indeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-sufficient. Almighty God, highly glorified is He, is self-sufficient. He feedeth, but He's not fed. He's independent. He doesn't need any of his creatures. So if all of us went off with our lips poked out, with disgraceful attitudes, jealousy, spite, and envy, and covetousness in our souls, we could not stop the Creator of the heavens and earth from completing His work. Savior's Day in the context of February 26. With this effort that began when the first slave was brought over but was concretely manifested on the mythological day of the founding of the Nation of Islam. July 4th. 1930. This is 2016, some 100 years since the historians, most historians, date the beginning of the Great Migration. Many African Americans and others leaving the South, moving northerly to urban areas. 1916 to 2016. 7 years after that migration, 1923, some 1,000+ years almost exact, from 622, when Prophet Muhammad and the believers made the Hijra. Elijah Poole made a mini proto-hydra from Georgia to Detroit, Michigan. Several hundred years almost to exact since the Mansa Musa was on the move in 1324. Making that global shattering Hajj, upsetting with his infusion of gold into the market, the global financial order, spreading gold everywhere as he made his pilgrimage to Mecca, 1324. 1923, 622, almost exactly on the dime. But then, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, no. In 1923, when he moved to Detroit, that some 8 years later, he would meet that social reformer, not Savior, not Mark D, but social reformer, with a penchant for the right orientation, with a penchant for the right orientation. And he pointed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught a book that he told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his followers to put on the high shelf in their home. He was even photographed with a sincere picture, this social reformer, with a copy of Al-Quran in his hands. This took place some dozen a year or so after the Western powers almost destroyed themselves in the Great World War. A lot coming, and making his move in the midst of cataclysmic crisis. The great Russian band, the Bolshevik Revolution, coming, presenting an ideological challenge to the other Western powers. In the middle of the Depression, enormous economic and financial dislocation. In between the two great world wars, the rise of Hitler and his Aryan supremacy, the rise of Mussolini, the formulation of the New Deal, by President Roosevelt. All these mega events in the history of Western man, and almost unnoticed, like a thief in the night type phenomenon, Allah raised up this earth-shaking mission. People hungry in unemployment lines during the Depression. But Allah made a move. God made a move. To bring a brand new diet to the depossessed descendants of slaves in this country. What exquisite timing at the end of the first third of the 20th century. All of the events during the first third leading up to the coming of this Quranic power of ultimate salvation and deliverance. A marvelous outworking of divine intervention. With soul on ice, the soul of black folk in 1903, it was coming in this third. With the founding of the Niagara Movement in the NAACP in 1909. This intervention was coming with the rise of Noble Drew Ali, 1912 and 1913. In the Moorish American Movement, this master stroke of irresistible power, unlimited, infinite wisdom. It was coming. The Garvey Movement, 1915, after the death our mundane, down to earth, cast down your bucket leader, Booker T. Washington. It was coming. With the bloody summer of 1919, it was coming. The marriage of Elijah Poole and Clara Evans in 1919, it was coming. The marriage of Earl Little and Louise Little that same year in 1919, It was coming. Marriage is half the religion. And with these two marriages, powerful force was coming. With the Harlem Renaissance in the mid-20s, a decade called the Roaring Twenties, before the big crash, this Savior, this Quran, it was coming. Oh, we have a lot to be grateful for. Our gratitude should be as wide as the heavens and earth. Look at the global chaos. Look at the global confusion that existed in 1930, 1931, and 1933. When the great explicator physically came into this world. But he said, I heard him say, he was not really born until his mind came alive with Quranic understanding. So that was his genuine and authentic birthday. All that effort was by jinn and men to prevent this ex-slave in the coming into the guidance of Quran, allowing them to be educated at Harvard, allowing them to read this, allowing them to read that, allowing them to establish their own institutions of higher learning. But conspiring to make every strenuous effort to prohibit this ex-slave from coming into knowledge of Quran. But Almighty God, who's irresistible, who watches from above over all his servants, this Creator sent in his own marvelous way Quranic salvation. Sent Quranic salvation. 3 years later, the race was on. Hitler giving Brother Jesse Owens in 1936 all kind of Aryan supremacy hell at the 1936 Olympics. But as that torch was being lighted, and they got a movie out on this called Race, if you get a chance, go check it out. Allah had already, Almighty God, had lit a torch in the soul of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1933. By this time, he was on the run. What he called the hypocrites had him on the run. By 1936, 1937, but the torch of salvation miraculously stayed lit in his soul. No television cameras, no opportunity to strut and show off before the world, running and hiding in obscurity, but the torch of salvation stayed lit in his soul, then after all that running and escaping and ducking and dodging, at the end of that tremendous struggle, arrested and incarcerated for some 5 or 6 years. But the light, the torch kept burning, the light kept glowing in his soul. Released the same year that one of his future disciples were being incarcerated. The world not looking at this embryonic life that exists in the collective soul of black folk by a spiritual vanguard comes out of prison. Torch still burning. By now his son the explicator is a teenager, the end of the 40s, studying Arabic under the Arabic instructor. Now the pages of Quran are beginning to open. Look at this divine scheme. Look at this divine plan. How Almighty God muscled his way into the hearts and minds of his rejected servants. Look how strong he was. Look how wise the plan was. It is not the early 50s. Only 20 plus years later, after the torch was lit, when Farad Muhammad took that photograph studying Al-Quran. Just 20 years later, just 2 decades later, this movement began to explode publicly. The baby is delivered out into the womb, out of the womb, into a larger America. Some 25 plus years later, on national television, the hate that hate produced, this marvelous community containing this brilliant light is exposed to the world. Look what Allah did. Look how much mercy he had. Excuse me, I had a ringing of a cell phone. Look how much mercy God had. Then some 2 years later, after national and international exposure of this divine victory in the collective life of African Americans, this explicator is locked up in 1961, on his 28th birthday in Sandstone, Minnesota, goes in comes out dedicated to Al-Quran. In 1963, the year of Birmingham, comes out of prison with a great bright light. One man, one soul, enlightened by the salvation of Al-Quran. And from his service will come countless men and women like you and I. Only a dozen years later, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, in 1975, Almighty God put his servants in the leadership driver's seat. And for some 30 plus years, until his death in 2008, he unrelentingly, unswervingly, without yielding one iota, stood upon brilliant bright light of Al-Quran. Look how Allah worked this grand miracle. Prophet Muhammad said, Quran is my miracle. And it was a double miracle that Almighty God brought it in his Abrahamic purity, white as snow, to the son of Elijah and Sister Clara Muhammad. What are we being petty about? What are we being small about? What are we being foolish about? What are we being silly about? With that kind of blessed history, that kind of blessed history, this movement, this unparalleled history, look how many people around the world it has influenced. Look how it touched the life of Muhammad Ali, who once upon a time was the most famous human being bar none on this planet. Look how it touched the lives of so many others, known and unknown. Look how this brilliant explicator of our holy book said our President Barack Hussein Obama was the Hajj. Look how he himself said, the most important influence in my life was influence that I received from an individual that was a part of this movement. And today, out of Chicago, Illinois, the headquarters of this movement, under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this man has influenced global events. It's impacted the world. That old touring car that was talked about going up Capitol Hill. Well, we have two in Congress now. One with car actually in his name. Congressman Andre Carson out of Indianapolis. And Congressman Keith Ellison, or Congressman Keith, son of Elijah. That Ellison means Elijah. Out of Detroit, Michigan. And he and other Detroiters was influenced by this work that started in Detroit, Michigan. Look what God has done. Look what he wrought with his mighty power. And some of us think a little boycott can stop something. You gotta be out of your mind. All the forces in the heavens and earth cannot stop the work of Olosa Panawatala. Wow, the Quranic light is getting brighter. Look at the vestige of the Western world. Can't produce a man that's capable of shouldering the burden of civilization. I care as to who it is, President. I don't want a weak chump who sat back and criticized him for 8 years when he was shouldering the burden of civilization. And now you got your chance. All on television, all of you, making a mockery and a fool of our governmental process. There's not a one of you that's fit to lead anymore. Your judgment started in a big way in 1914, before the coming of this nation of Islam. What we see now is the final display of that judgment. And we see the work of the product of the Nation of Islam getting stronger. The object of salvation, I mean the deliverer of salvation, Al-Quran, getting brighter and brighter. After all, he was a man influenced by this Quranic deliverance that shouldered civilization in this country. Even though the haters were displeased. Anybody that would even look at one of these Caucasian males out there for leadership, they might need to look again. 2 out of 3 are Hispanics. One is a Jew. Only one is the great white European hope. And I heard a Caucasian scholar last night that have studied Western politics for 40 years. He said, what you see in Trump are the herds rising up crying for white nationalism. If one of their academic scholars who part of what they call the so-called establishment, if he can see it, what would we be looking like seeing something else? Trying to overly analyze, trying to overthink, when it's clear and blatant. A chain-stoking cry, a death rout on the bed of the dissolution of European power in America. And Trump and Humpty Dumpty and all the king horses to not bring it back again. Even if he became president, not just him, any of these broken males. And these guys are more broken than that pan-sacking African-American in prison. At least that brother fantasizing like he got a lot of juice. Who want to follow a man without any juice? That's full of wolf-ticketing and bluffing and hot bag alto. Dear beloved audience, I don't know about you. But I didn't come through this struggle to try to get the civilization to be led by a bunch of gnawing atlas like men. Put the little ball on a woman's shoulder and help her bear it. But I agree, regardless of what happened out there, we on the move. We have an independent destiny, we have an independent purpose, and we have an independent goal as a people. We know where we go. We're going to the promised land. And we have the salvation tool. I bear witness on this Savior's Day. We have the salvation tool to get us home. We're not looking for no government to change our conditions. We believe in the salvation tool, which instructs us if we change our heart, then Allah will change our condition. Even Obama, President Obama, who I immensely respect, he couldn't change our conditions. It was impossible for him to change our conditions. Only the salvation tool, the generous Quran, the clear Quran, the wise Quran, can change our condition and deliver us to the promised land. I look foolish to be antagonizing over the judgment and wrath of God. Some of you all are so heavily weighed down with white oppression, you thought the white male would be God forever. Only God rules forever. And his time is up. And in this day of judgment is being demonstrated. Can't even have a civil, intelligent, rational debate. A ruler measures everything. No sense of proportion, no sense of measurement, just wild foolishness. You think we should be looking forward to that kind of leadership? When God has given us corrupt, they should be looking to us for leadership. But the guy got to be a president. This country's not going anywhere. So come who may, until we can get our president, we should be looking to take charge. We should be looking at Joseph out of the pit with the light of Quran to lead. Not to dominate, not to oppress, not to exploit, but to be a force for righteousness and good. Now we got the deliverance and the salvation. Any little mediocre thing cannot lead us, dearly beloved audience. Only that which was given in the form of clear guidance to one of our brethren, only that is worthy of us following. People all over the country on dope, taking all kind of pills. I'm talking about Caucasians. Can't stand the pressure of life anymore. It's pitiful. I hope Allah have mercy upon my sons and daughters, the sons and daughters of Adam, our brethren who happen to be Caucasian. Some of the cream of the crop in college don't have the self-esteem and confidence that they can get out and carve out what they need in the world anymore. Running behind a man promising them political pie in the sky. Free this, free that. They used to get on African Americans. They used to look down on African Americans about welfare. Now they want everything free. College students, intelligence, with skills and ability, looking for a 74-year-old Pied Piper to deliver them to a political land of ours. Not just the leadership, but the masses of Caucasians, dearly beloved brothers and sisters, are groaning under the burden of the end of white privilege and dominance. The duty of the civilized is to teach the uncivilized civilization. I take no pleasure in their state. But I don't deny their state. And if they would grab a human sensitive person like some of our hands and work with this, work with us, the guidance we receive will change their conditions just the way it could change ours. So we're not advocating animus toward our Caucasian brethren. But you have to face the fact that they are not these white gods anymore that they psyched us in believing they were in the first place. It's still white racism, white this and white that. No. No. that day is over. It's time for you to come forward now, Joseph, with the tool of salvation in your hand, the blessed Quran. Dearly beloved audience, don't get started with get me started today. My cup runneth over. Who would thought that they would be living on a day where a two-bit politician would make mockery and talk about the Pope that's over 1 billion plus people? What kind of respect is that? Yeah, you can disagree with him. Yeah, you can challenge him. But you don't show that kind of public, open, fragrant, and blatant disrespect. You're not fit to lead anymore. So I say to all of you descendants of slaves, put down that heavy cross and put on that starry crown. The enlightenment of the salvation tool. The Quran is that starry crown that my grandmama used to wail away about, used to sing about. So one day she would exchange this old heavy cross with a starry crown, say an emblem of suffering and shame. Almighty God has brought us out of the depths of darkness in the Quranic light, light upon light. He intervened in history and guided whom he will. Dearly beloved audience, this has been Religion Means Alive. Brother Imam, if you're still on the line, we certainly are here for any questions. Otherwise, we leave you as we greeted
you. Yes, sir, I'm here. I'm alive and pray out to God that my spirit will be alive forevermore, never to die, and to put this message out into the hands of our people. I would like to reflect upon your fellow lawyer and law school professor, fellow legal teacher, the former Supreme Court Justice, Mr. Antonio Scalia. Any reflections? And secondly, would you reflect on Mr. Justice Thomas in his reading of the scripture at that funeral?
Let me just interject this. See, this is how we see God's judgment. I was trained in constitutional law. It's no doubt that the former justice had one of the most brilliant minds of anyone that ever sat on the U.S. Supreme Court. Having said that, he's also done, unfortunately, more damage to the constitutional reality of America. The Supreme Court, in its infancy, always tried to avoid what they call political questions and tried to limit everything to what was called justiciable controversy. But Chief Justice Scalia led a movement to use the Supreme Court to determine who became president of these United States. And did it in a partisan political manner, without any pretensions of judicial objectivity. They put the man in power. President George W. Bush, who got his start as far as his role to the presidency in the state of South Carolina. We have to understand this. George W. Bush came in. He would not have been president but for the non-judicial partisan behavior of Scalia and others. Came in, presided over a wrecked economy, and got us in wars which he did not tax the people to pay for. Ultimately, his decision to invade Iraq led to the presidency of Barack Hussein Obama. No more than, we got to understand, 60% of the Caucasian people never did accept Obama's presidency. They didn't vote for him. And so the Koch brothers understood that Thomas and Scalia hobnobbed with them, went to meetings with them, wined and dined with them, never should have ruled on a decision where the Koch brothers had an interest. They should have recused themselves. But they led the charge for Citizens United, bringing about a situation where it was said that money was speech, thereby making almost the voice of money more power than the voice of people in this democratic order. Look when he passed. Right when the South Carolina Republican primary was coming up. Look who came back to that state. The man who Scalia made possible to get in power, President George W. Bush. Look what happened. The Bush family that benefited by Scalia was virtually politically destroyed in that same state. George W. Brother. And look what happened. Trump, George W. in that same state of South Carolina. Call him a liar and everything else. All these negative consequences, in my opinion, was brought about the refusal of Scalia to discipline his judicial role by sticking as close as possible to judicial controversies. Out on the stump, politicking, advocating a certain political slant, I don't think that ever happened in the history of Supreme Court justice. As far as Brother Thomas, he was merely a tonto tag along.
Yes. Now, what do you say as a constitutional lawyer concerning the president's prerogative to appoint a successor to Mr. Justice Scalia, late Justice Scalia?
Well, Justice Scalia was Justice
Scalia. And also, the second part of the question is,
okay, I'm
the
sorry.
Obstructionist effort of your fellow Alabamian of your adopted state now, Senator Mitch McConnell, He's from somewhere in the Black Belt of Alabama. I'm sure he was raised and steeped in white supremacy. He said he would not even bring the matter up for vote. What do you think about it as a constitutional lawyer? First, you speak about the president's prerogative. Does the president have a prerogative? I want you to speak as a constitutional lawyer. Secondly, I want you to speak to the roots of Mr. Senator McConnell's and his Alabamian roots and whether that has any effect at all on his decisions.
Let's be clear. According to the constitutional analysis, Scalia was what you would call an originalist. That means he allegedly stuck close to the original language of the Constitution. Some even said that the Constitution died when the language was written and it was no longer a living organ. So he strictly allegedly stuck to the original words. Well, according to Article 2, I think Section 2, it says clearly in the original language that the president shall nominate Supreme Court justices, not made, not only during the first 3 years of his term, but shall nominate with the advice and consent of the Senate. Mitch McConnell knows that. Now, Democrats and Republicans have played games with this thing. For instance, Obama was in a group that talked about filibustering Kennedy. One of the nominees when he was a senator, not Kennedy. But that was a political shenanigan. The justice had his hearing. The Senate, the Judicial Committee debated it, and it was, and the nominee was approved by the Senate. So, what is McConnell suggesting? We're not only not going to have a hearing, we're not going to entertain the idea, and we don't want anybody coming around to our office one-on-one soliciting us on behalf of a potential nominee. Brother, ma'am, that's completely unheard of. If that's nothing but blatant disrespect for him, and there's no explanation for that super unprecedented action other than racism. Now, during the same period when that letter came out, when they said they weren't going to touch it, period, a U.S. senator took a proposal that Ham had made about the closing of Gitmo, a proposal. Now, as a form of political, reasonable minds can differ on an issue. So I could see where rational minds say, no, we don't want to close Gitmo. I can see rational minds saying, we may want to close it. But what did this guy do? He took the chance to set up a viral video where he took, excuse me, audience, the president's proposal, balled it up before the world, and threw it in the trash. And then that same day, Donald Trump and all these Republicans was out there clowning. What's the poetic justice in that? You disrespect this decent man. So this is what I'm going to give you. Yeah, I have no respect. And they get disrespectful people out there not wanting to be president. Balled it up and threw it in the trash. 8 years of blatant disrespect. And I can't call it any other way. Yes, the president has a right to nominate. And they should go through the process. they also have a right not to approve. They can disapprove anybody sitting up there that's been done before. But you don't shut down the process because you want to mess with Am. Any other questions or comments, Brother Emmanuel?
No, sir. I'm finished. Is there anybody else comment? Just let me check with the technical. Yeah, the only thing I'd like to say to people is this Sunday, I'm going to continue the fourth Sunday lecture, Beyond the Political Winds, The Fall of White America, Never to Rise Again, Beyond the Political Winds.
Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar.
I want all y'all to come, whether you're a Bernie Sanders fan, whether you're a Hillary Clinton fan, Donald Trump, John Kasich, whomever you think is the band-aid for solving Western civilization. I'm going to address Imam Muhammad's last speech in San Francisco, where he said the white Western world is finished. Not just the white woman, not the white man, not the white child. I pray mercy on them, because I can see why they're getting posse cotton. I can see why they're doing drugs.
Brother Emmanuel, make sure he put that woman in there, too. I hear you.
I had to put them all in. Because she was the one that raised the ones that they put the whoop on me. I have to tell you, I grew up in Virginia, and I've seen them sick them on me. I've seen a few work of Apache. You know, they believe it. She raised Mitch McConnell. She was the sister of David Duke. She was the mother of Thomas Jefferson.
I understand.
I don't see her as any different. I don't see the left or the right, the businessman or the mogul, being any different. I just tell you that time is up. I pray mercy on them, because God is the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. So what I'm proposing to Sunday, all y'all here, hear you. I'm going to present the 15-point program of Imam Devin D. Muhammad. So those who are interested in stepping in on the left foot, the right foot, or the cross leg, we're going to show you how to step into the world on the right foot, your directional foot, I don't like to say spiritual, and come out on your left foot, which is the material world, and build a world just like others are doing the world. In case even America collapses, we're going to keep it on and progressing. Thank you, and look forward to seeing you. Let me just get one housekeeping matter out of the way. You can send your donations to Religion Means Alive via PayPal, and we'll get it the same day. We need $500 by Friday of next week. So you can send it to us. If you'd like to contact us, Imam Alfred at Gmail. I'll give you a direct address as how to reach us. But preferably PayPal. We get it instantly on PayPal. So don't worry about all the secrecy. Don't get spooked up. I won't know your credit card. Don't want to know it. Just send us the donation. Those of you who are listening, those of you who might listen, pass the word. We've been on the air faithfully for 5 years. And we've been going into the cookie jar. And with a few other pieces of crumbs that people send us, we want to expand. We still want to go to mainstream radio and television. We're working hard to do that. Thank you. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. I'll see you again. The program will be on tomorrow at 7. I will return to the air at 3 o'clock with Imam Yusuf Salam. And we want you to tell all your friends, listen in Sunday, because I got a very special message of hope for freedom, justice, equality, led by us, African-Americans, Joseph, for everybody. We believe, we're beyond the belief state. We know we have a complete solution to the entire global problem, definitively. No guessing, no peeping and hiding, no ducking and sliding. We know how to put the economy together, the culture together, the educational system together, how to end addiction problems in the society, how to balance the budget. All those problems are within our purview. We're going to start by first building a model community among African-American people, and that community will be prepared to lead the world. Come on, Sunday, listen. Thank you, dear beloved people. Peace be on our noble and honorable listener. You have listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Life. Brother Imam, with that fire of spirit, I need to come down and know that God is real, because I'm so excited that he has decided to stop by here and bless his naphead slaves that now have. So you need, when we get that, when God blesses you like that, you need somebody to pray you right down, like you put a fire hose on them, so they can just cool out and know that they didn't do it, that God did it. Brother Imam closes out the prayer.
Our dearly beloved audience, we thank God for his tremendous act of mercy and grace by sending us the deliverance tool of salvation, the mercy in the Quran and in the life of Prophet Muhammad. Let us be forever thankful and grateful and strive with might and main to demonstrate that gratitude. As-salamu alaykum.